to the reading of His Word. May He write His eternal truth upon our hearts. Where will you spend your eternity? We're considering the narrow gate and the wide gate, as we have read from Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. The words we are reading this morning, they are actually the beginning of the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, the sermon which Jesus began to preach from chapter number 5. This is the beginning, the introduction, if you will, to the conclusion of the sermon. The sermon is coming to an end, and now Jesus' aim is to apply the truth that He has been teaching throughout this sermon. He expressed the point that there is God's standard and man's own standard. There is a right way and a wrong way. There are two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. There are two kings, the king of glory and the king of this wicked and evil age. And we have learned before, friends, we have been warned before, as we have been reading through this sermon, that you cannot serve both of these kings. You have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. You must choose which king you want to serve. Which kingdom do you belong to? And with that choice, my friend, lies heaven and hell. With that choice lies your future when you pass on from this world to the next. So if you will summarize what the Lord Jesus Christ has been speaking or has been teaching, if you will summarize what we have learned through this Sermon on the Mount, is that there's a distinction between Jesus' way and the way of this world. The usual way of this evil way. The usual way of the Pharisees, as we bring that into its context. And this morning, both of these ways, the way of the world and the way of Christ, are coming to us in a picture of a gate, a narrow gate, and a wide gate. And the righteousness that the Lord Jesus Christ is demanding from us, you can see that is a righteousness that cannot come. It will not come through a wide and an easy way. It cannot come through this wide gate, but it can only come through this narrow gate. Which is why we need to pay careful attention to understand what is the message of the Lord Jesus Christ before us this morning. This morning, I just want to make 2 points from this verse. 2 points I just want us to consider. Firstly, I want us to see the agency to enter by the narrow gate. The agency to enter by the narrow gate. We read from verse 13 and 14 together. These verses we read as following. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. Please take note. Continues to say, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Church, children of God, brethren, friends. Every journey in this world begins somewhere and it ends somewhere. Even if you can go around and drive in circles, you will end up somewhere. You may end up in the same place, but it is somewhere. There is no journey that doesn't end anywhere. So is the Christian journey. The Christian journey begins from a particular gate and it ends to a particular destination. Every journey begins somewhere and it ends. It ends somewhere. And the gate that we're speaking about this morning is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ Himself. He says in John chapter 10, verse 7, He says, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus Christ, my friend, is not a doorkeeper who stands by the gate or by the door and asks a proof before you enter in, a proof that you belong there. He's not a doorkeeper. Jesus Christ is the door. He is the gate of the sheep. The sheep enters through this gate because the sheep identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. They have heard His voice. They have followed Him. They have believed in Him. They have received life eternal. He knows them by name. Their names are written on His wounds. They have life, life eternal. They are the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have entered through a particular gate. The verse before us reveals, friends, the agency to make a choice. You need to make a choice to enter through the narrow gate. And I want you to notice, friends, there are two entrances here. There are two entrances, there are two paths, meaning two ways. And there are two crowds, and there are two destinations. I want you to note that. And the gate then that we are talking about in this particular moment, it has an entrance. That entrance leads to somewhere. It is a narrow gate. It is difficult. It is not easy to find. This gate is linked to a hard way which is not pleasant to walk. It is not pleasant to walk in this way. But this gate is identified and linked with that hard way. This gate requires patience and perseverance. This gate calls you to walk alone. And I want you to observe that word there in verse number 13. The first word, enter. In verse number 13, there's that word, enter. This word has a sense of agency. This word tells us in another way that everyone is invited to enter through the narrow gate. The invitation here implies that the gate is there. It's not a gate that must still be formed. The gate is there and it is opened. Enter. It doesn't say open the gate. Enter the gate. Or by the gate. It is there and it's always open. It is not a gate that waits for you to formulate or to make narrow or wide. And it should not be your concern why this gate is called a narrow gate. Many people spend their time, they want to find out why this gate is called a narrow gate. That's not your concern. Your concern is the call to enter. Have you entered through the narrow gate? Or you want to find out why is it narrow? Your concern should be enter. Because regardless of how narrow the gate is, everyone is commanded, is called to enter. It is put upon every soul to enter through or by this narrow gate. What is this narrow gate? Of course, salvation should be in mind here. Salvation should be in mind here. But friends, to add to that, let us consider the context of this before we think this is salvation, and I believe it is. But in the context of our teaching, the context of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' teaching tells us that this is not just salvation. This points to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ in contrast or contrary to the teachings of the world. Before you can have salvation, you need to have the teaching of Jesus Christ. You need to have the Word of God. The narrow gate is the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to believe His teachings. You need to believe in Him. Then you live as He commands. That's where it starts. You believe in Him. You live as He commands. That's the way to life. The narrow gate is the way of righteousness. It is to deny self and submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a gate that you enter and find a way of life, a way in contrary to the life that you have been living before. So when you enter this gate, there comes to you a change. There's a transformation that takes place as you believe in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can they be saved unless somebody preach to them? One needs to bring the words of Christ. He says in verse 14, this way is hard. Why is this way hard, my friend? It is because we want things our own way. We are used to make our own rules. We are used to our own ways, my friends. We hate change. We hate correction. We despise biblical teaching and biblical rebuke and biblical correction. We always want to be on the driving seat. We want to be master of our own destiny. We want to pray like hypocrites. We want to avenge ourselves. We are murderous people. In our own hearts, we have hateful hearts. We want to pay evil with evil. We are lustful and covetous people. And we would rather have that than the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ says, no, my friends. You are the salt of the earth. You have the light. You are the light of the world. You have a righteousness which exceeds the righteousness of the scribes. Therefore, you shall not murder. That is my teaching. That is my way. That is the gate. My words. You have heard them say, I say. You have seen a particular gate. I'm giving you a different gate. You are not a murderer. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not swear falsely. You shall not divorce unless in a case of adultery. You must love your enemy. You must give to the needy. You must pray like a Christian. You must lay up your treasures in heaven. You must not be anxious about anything. Do not worry about tomorrow. We have a God who upholds the future, and He has tomorrow in the palm of His hands. Judge not, that you not be judged. That is your life. Ask, seek, and knock at that door. Your job is to ask. Not to command anything, but to ask. He says, this way is hard. This way, friend, is hard, so that we may walk with Him. That is why this way is hard. So that we may walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. This way is hard, so that we may learn to bow our knees on daily basis and seek the grace and the mercies of God. Because if the way was easy, we will wake up in the morning like everybody else and worry about where we are going. Never worry about the kingdom of God. That is why the way of life, this way, this Christian journey, is hard. So that we may learn to trust and depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory. So that we may seek His will. So that we may knock on that door of His mercy and grace. We can only walk in this way, my friend, through the helping hand of the master of the way. The master who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only way we can walk in this way is with Him, by Him, through Him. The question is, how will you know we have entered the narrow gate? Jesus says, you will have fun. He says, you will be rich. He says, you will be popular. He says, you will sell gospel CDs and reach gold and platinum status. He says, you will be a pastor and people will love you and your church will be overflowing and there will be a lot of things happening in your church. That's what Jesus says. Christ says, no, friend. That is not what He says. How will you know that you have entered the narrow gate? He says, you will have a hard way to walk and a hard way to live. In other words, you will carry your cross on daily basis. You will live in accordance to His statutes on daily basis. You look upon heaven and ask God, what should I do? Where should I go? How should I live? I am no longer of my own. I am yours. Give me direction. You are my King. You are my God. You will separate from wilderness and wild parties. Some people think that verse is not there. It is there. We will read it later. You will separate yourself from wilderness and wild parties. You will have patience with people. You will love those who persecute you. You will do unto others that which you wish for yourself, as we have spoken last week. So those who have found access to this entrance, this narrow gate, they are characterized, friends, by righteousness. They have transformed lives. They have heard the voice of the Lord commanding them to enter by the narrow gate, and they have heard and entered. They are not the people who hear and postpone date and time until it's too late. They hear and they do. They have committed themselves into the Lord Jesus Christ. They have realized that in Him and only in Him is life. They will only move in Him and have their being in Him. The Lord Jesus Christ. And just to emphasize to you, church, the agency to enter by this narrow gate. To emphasize to you the agency to take Jesus' teaching at heart. The question is, why should I enter through the narrow gate? Why should I enter through this narrow gate? Jesus says, this gate has a way which leads to life. And I want you to notice, in other words, entering through this gate is to find life. Eternal life. That is the life this can speak about. Eternal life. Life of joy, peace and happiness. Life of glory, blessing and great rewards after death. Life of righteousness. Why should you enter this gate? It leads to life. The two ways before us. The hard way and the easy way, which we shall look at in a minute. They coexist. It's not that there is a hard way and then you're going to get an easy way, like the gospel that you have today, that there's a season of this and there's a season of that. No, this has nothing to do with season. A season of your glory. Your season of your what. No, you don't find that in the Bible. These ways coexist together. The gates coexist. These ways and the gates are being traveled and entered through by people as we speak. They coexist. What I want you to notice is that they don't lead to the same destination. They coexist. They look parallel. Sometimes you might be fooled, but they don't lead to the same destination. This is not like the N1 highway to Pretoria. Doesn't matter which lane you take, you end up in Pretoria. This is not the N1 to Pulukwane. It doesn't matter which lane you take. The other one is just a fast lane. The other one is a slow lane. But anyway, I will enter and into Pulukwane. No. This is a matter of life and death. There is destination where we are going. And it's two paths leading to two destinations. That is why I should enter this gate. The narrow gate must be entered in immediately, my friend. Because soon and very soon, friends, we will pass this world, all of us, we will pass through from this world to the next. We will leave this world behind. We will leave our lovely children behind. We will leave our beautiful spouses behind. We will leave this world of sin and we will find ourselves before the sinless Lamb of God one day. And there He will separate His sheep from the goats. The very same goats who are wearing sheepskins today. He will separate between the sheep and the goats. And I want you to notice, my friend, this gate, it says here, is narrow. In other words, it's a very slim gate. It's a very small gate. You cannot bring your luggage here. You cannot bring your baggage because you will not fit in. You cannot carry bags to come through this gate. You must come as you are. This gate demands you to come helpless and lonely and without any baggage except your sin. You bring your sin, but then not anything else. And once your sin is dealt with, that's how you live here. You leave everything behind. You don't bring your luggages, my friends, because you will not fit in. You need to say, like the hymn writer who says, nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to the cross of Christ I cling. Jesus says in John 6 verse 63, if you are writing, the words that I've spoken to you are spirit and they are life. In other words, my friend, the life that we live today, the life that we have before us is a foretaste of a real life that is still to come. This gate leads to life. It is life itself, but not complete life. It leads to life. The life we live right now is just a foretaste. It doesn't even going to be considered a life when you get to the real life. So in other words, you are still on the road to life, my friend. Life eternal. Joy, peace in the presence of our Lord. Enter by the narrow gate, my friend. Live as Christ commands. Enter by the narrow gate and end up in glory. Secondly, let us consider the agent warning to flee the wide gate. I was saying to you, we were talking about the agency to enter by the narrow gate. Now, looking at the agent warning to flee from the wide gate. In verse 13, we see another gate. Let us read there. It says, enter by the narrow gate. There's another gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who entered by it are many. The wise Solomon said in Proverbs 14, verse 12, listen to the wise man. He says, there is a way that seems right to men, but its end is the way to death. There is a way that seems right to men, but its end is the way to death. That is the wide gate. That is the broad way, my friend. The broad way or the wide gate is not hell. No, my friend, it is not hell, but it is something that leads to hell. It is the teaching of men, Satan's plan for your destruction. It is the teaching of this world. It is the teaching of the false religion and this current Christless Christianity, this current popularity contest that is going on. That is the wide gate, where everybody flocks in like sheep, like lost sheep and goats mixed together. That is the wide way. The way of Satan. And I want you to notice, my friend, the wide gate here is not mentioned as a point of invitation like the narrow gate. The narrow gate is mentioned as a point of invitation. Enter by the narrow gate. I plead with you, enter by the narrow gate. Make it your choice to enter by the narrow gate. That is a plea. This wide gate is not coming to us to present something as an invitation, but it comes as a warning. This gate is mentioned as a warning, my friend. I just don't know if we still hold something that is a warning as something very important. I don't know if a warning, my friend, still make sense in this generation. You ask yourself, how many warning signs we pass along the way and we are never bothered by them? How many warning signs we read about before we consume some refreshments, some of those things they cause sugar diabetes, they cause cancer. Some of the things we consume, although there's a sign they cause cancer, we continue to consume, they cause obesity, we consume. Some of those things is written, danger to your lungs. People keep smoking it and keep eating things they're not supposed to eat. And at the end of the day, someone must pay the price, and the price is death. I'm just bringing the agency of a warning and our carelessness towards a warning. As people, I'm not talking to you, Christian, in general. That's how people take the warning. But the question is, my friend, do you listen to a warning? Can you afford to ignore this warning? Because, friends, with low blood pressure, high blood pressure, no blood at all, you can still make it to heaven. With asthma and cancer, you can still find yourself in the presence of God. But if you avoid this warning, you can have everything in life. You will not end up where you think you want to end up. Because where this gate leads, there is no turning back, my friend. where this gate leads, there is no life. The question is, how will you know you are on this wide gate? Well, what will charm you most, my friends, will not be the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. What you will spend time doing and enjoying will not be the way of the cross, but wilderness. Because this wide gate is constructed by the devil himself, instigated by the devil himself. The gate is wide. It makes it easy for people to enter. The way of life here is easy, but I want you to notice, it is just easy in the eyes of men. That is all. It is only easy in the eyes of men because everything is there to entice men and to please his foolish heart. That is why it's easy. You go there to get pleased. You listen to false teaching because it pleases you. It robs you of the glory that is set before you. And there are many signs, friends, that people display to show that they are on this way. Let us turn together to Galatians chapter 5. Let us read just the few signs that people display that they are in this way. And some of these signs, friends, you might have, but it doesn't really mean that you are on your way to hell. Perhaps the Lord is still working in you, but you just have to listen careful. I'm talking in general, the signs that you will see that people are on this wide road. Galatians 5, and I'm reading from verse 19 to 21. I must just find it. It reads as following. Now the works of the flesh, or the evidence of being in this wide gate, are evident, my friend. They are here. Sexual immorality, definitely. That one, we are not saved if you continue in that. Impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. To you people who doesn't know what sorcery is, witchcraft. Kluela talififi, kluela uloi. Witchcraft. Enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, division in the church. Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. These are the signs. These are just signs and symptoms that this person is in the wide gate. But the only cause, friend, or what really sweep people to this wide gate is sin. These are the signs that sin is reigning in your mortal body. These are the signs that you have been listening to false teachings. These are the signs that you are in the wide gate. You are living an easy life. But the real cause, what really sweep people in or under this pass, is sin. So, if it is sin, sin must be dealt with. And the only way to deal with sin is not to look at self. We all know that we cannot deal with our own sin, but there is a man who came down from heaven, a man who lived a sinless life, a man who lived with perfect obedience, obeying the law of God, a man who died and rose from the dead on the third day, a man who ascended unto heaven after 40 days and now seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for me and you, a man who came to save his people. A man who says, listen to what he says. Listen to this man. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest. Not just rest. You will find rest. Rest of your souls. For my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. What is his name? His name is Jesus Christ, the eternal, begotten Son of the eternal Father, of the eternal God. Not only this gate wide, not only is this gate an open road where you drive your own speed, you don't care about cameras, you don't care about the billboards, you just continue the way you want to continue. Not only is this way that way, what characterizes this white gate is that it is popular. It says here, many people, and it's popular, it is well known. People can even advise you to come to this gate. It is a busy gate. There's a lot of audience here. There's a lot of people. Many come to find this gate. It says there, those who enter by it are many. So you look around, you see people are busy. I'm not saying all, but most people, it's just Sunday, I must just go to church. It is a duty for me to be in church. But am I carrying the love of God in my heart? Am I in the narrow way, in the narrow gate? Am I living the hard way? Am I carrying my cross each and every day of my life? Or is it just one of those days? I'm going to come on Sunday. I'm going to sink myself under the teachings of these guys. And after that, from Monday to Saturday, I will just sneak in and sink deep like a submarine and enjoy my sin out down there. Nobody sees me. That is what characterizes this white gate. It's popular. You get exhausted in this gate, but you keep going because you think you're enjoying your life. Another identifying fact about this gate is that while you have entered this gate, you have an easy life, like I said. What does that mean? You have an easy life. You live as though you have no accountability. You live as though an end will never come. You live as though you will live forever in this world. You live as though you have no spiritual responsibility. You live as though you have the whole world in the palm of your hands. You can live like a demon, but still claim to bind and loose demons. That is what is happening in the people of this white gate. You live like a demon, but you wanna bound a demon. Friends, there was one thing you need to bind. You need to bind yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. You bind yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one thing you need to lose, not the demons. You need to lose yourself of sin. You need to lose yourself of your pride. The white gate is characterized by dishonesty. It is characterized by lies, stealing, cheating. These days, it is characterized by homosexuality too. I'm not going to leave that one behind. It is characterized by the love of money and the hatred of the truth. The man of God behind the pulpit love money more than they love God. The people sitting in the pews love money more than they love God. They come because somebody has promised them if they can just say a prayer, they will have something in their bank account. That is what characterizes this white gate. The love of the world, not the love of Christ, the eternal Son of God, who died on the cross for the sin of man, to rescue you from the love of money and take you from this garbage, this slave market of sin, unto his marvelous light. There is no love for him. In verse 15 to 20, here in Matthew chapter number 7, we shall see next week. Jesus says, the instrument which the devil used as this white gate is the false teachers, my friend. You will see in this context from verse 15 to 20. The devil doesn't come to you with horns like you see in the movies, having a fork in his hand and try to drive you. No, friends. He has agencies. And verse 15 to 20 says the agencies are the false teachers. And they are teaching. And the only way then to escape this white gate is to let go of your pop stars, your favorite things of this world, your favorite people and favorite preachers of this world, and try to serve the Lord and to love God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to come out of false churches who preaches false message of a false Christ. It is to leave behind your life of complacence and easy believism. Just say a prayer and everything is fine. No, friend, it is to come out of that junk and come and have life and live that life, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, as He commands. And say like the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 11, I have stored up your words in my heart. Why? That I may not sin against you. this Broadway, it looks godly, humanly speaking, my friend. It looks godly before people out there, from human perspective, because it is traveled by the so-called men of God. It looks godly because the false teachers are there proclaiming their false gospel, claiming to be the true representatives of the kingdom of God. And you shall see that next week. But it is wide gate, my friend. The Bible says it is easy. It is easy. But you also see as the week comes that not only is it traveled and instigated by the devil, constructed by the false teachers, but it also gives false hope to the people in the pews. It gives you false hope. The Bible says one day you will get into heaven. You will say, Lord, Lord, I knew you. Lord, Lord, I've cast demons in your name. I spoke in tongues. I did all that. Lord, Lord, you will say that because you're living with false hope. And what will the Lord say to you? We all know that. I'm not going to say it today. What will the Lord going to say? You all know what he's going to say. There are many people, friends, in this white gate, living an easy life, living as though they're just floating around in the air. They think this has to be a correct gate. This has to be a correct gate, this white gate. Why? Because there are a lot of people here. There's a lot of people traveling here. We have the so-called popular pastors and popular Christians, figures of the world here. The road itself is popular. It is wide. Anyone can enter. You don't have to leave anything behind. You can bring your junk rather than the narrow way. With the narrow way, I said, you cannot bring your junk. You cannot bring your luggage. Here you can bring your junk. You can believe whatever you want to believe. Nobody cares. It is easy to find. It is easy to travel. It is adorable. It is all that we need. That is the kind of Christianity we need. Love everybody. Accept everybody. Be with everybody. Do as like with everybody so that we love by everybody. The big question is then, why should I jump out of this white gate? Why should I jump out of this white gate? Jesus says it leads to destruction, my friend. Look at your Bible, verse number 13. It leads to destruction. You are either on the right way, the narrow way, the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you are on the easy way, the wide gate, the teachings of the Pharisees and the teaching of the world around us today. And according to the Lord Jesus Christ, those who follow the ways of the Pharisees, those who follow the ways of the world today, they think they have an easy life. And those who follow His ways, those who follow His word, they might think they have the hard life. But those who think they have an easy way today, they soon find themselves burning in hell. And those who think that the way of the Lord Jesus Christ is hard, but they persevere, one day they find themselves in heaven full of life. Friends, beware of the white gate, the gate that is against the salvation of God. Beware of the white gate. It may have beautiful features around and offer all kinds of excitement. Let's have the youth do 1, 2, 3. Let's jump around and beware of the white gate. It brings all kinds of excitement. And I'm not saying we should not be excited. We need a very excited youth in the church. I believe that. And we'll have that. But not worldly way. But this way brings all the kinds of excitement. Beware. It is constructed by the devil and evil men and women through their false teachings, false Christianity, false religion. Beware of today's easy believism, my friends. Because many people have found temporal pleasure and delight on this road that leads to hell, this highway to hell. Yet the road leads to destruction, but they find pleasure and delight. The sad thing about this, my friend, it looks good. This road looks good in many people's eyes. They walk in this way with confidence. They are confident that one day they will reach unto the Lord Jesus Christ. They think they know the Lord. But the sad part is that the Lord does not know any person who is in this wide gate. He says in verse 21 of the very same chapter, we shall see as we go through even next week, I did not know you. What sad and surprising time it shall be for each and every person on this wide gate. So friends, I'm closing. Friends, you can run around and pack chairs in the church. You can run around, teach Sunday school, sing in the choir, lead the youth, speak junk behind the pulpit and have people clapping hands for you. You can dance around like a dead frog in the presence of God, shouting Jesus, hallelujah. You can do all that, but unless you enter through the narrow gate, unless you endure the hard way, you will find yourself in great misery. But on the other hand, you may be hated by everyone. You may be called names and be mistreated in society. You may have no friends. Your family might be against you because of your faith. Your husband may despise you. Your wife may dishonor your children, may disrespect you. Your parents may cut you out of their lives, young men, young woman, for your faith. But if you have entered through the narrow gate, one day you will be surrounded by His glory. One day you shall see Him face to face. One day you shall dance before the Lord with unexplainable joy. In that day, the joy of the Lord will really fill your heart. You will worship God with an unsinning heart. You will know that day what it is to glorify God and worship Him. So, let us all be warned, my friends. You cannot enter both entrances that I've spoken about this morning. You cannot embrace both the ways of the Lord and the ways of the world. You cannot use both gates. You cannot walk on both paths or both ways. You cannot be part of both crowds. You cannot be found in the church and one foot is in the world. Because if that happens, you will not end up on both destinations. That is the problem. You will not end up on both destinations, but in one. And there will be snatching and grinding of teeth. Question: have you listened to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you accepted the teachings of Christ? Have you believed in Him? Have you entered through that narrow gate? Have you chosen life, my friend? Where will you spend your eternity? Have you asked that question? Enter by the narrow gate. It is a hard way, but enter. It may be a lonely way, but enter. It may not be a way that has been traveled by anyone in your family, but enter. It may be a despised way, despised by the culture, despised by your friends, despised by religious men today, but enter. It might cause you friendship and relationship, but enter. Enter the narrow gate. Believe in the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Since you have believed, and I believe you have believed, live by the hard way. Carry your cross each and every day. Live according to the ways of Christ. Separate yourself from worldliness and wild parties. Wild parties, you can see in one of your translations, Galatians chapter 5, in that chapter, verse 19 to 21. Let it go. Embrace the cross. Love the teachings of the Lord. And I pray the Lord to bless us. Next week we shall look at the danger of false teachers, which is the verses before us. May the Lord bless us as we pray. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. The church of God say amen.